Well, thank Brother Laverne for his sincere prayer and for each one of you who have been praying. After the sermon this morning, I've been richly challenged and blessed. I think our brother did a wonderful job. I want to praise the Lord for that. Tonight, we want to look at wives fulfilling your virtuous calling. I think maybe it doesn't matter. We have a lot of wonderful, virtuous women here in our congregation, but I feel that all of us are the human can always do better. And I hope that tonight this sermon will be an encouragement to we as families for the Lord. Walking with God as wives and as mothers. A minister once advised to a couple who were about to be married that there were two little bears that would help to make their marriage a successful one. The two words were bear and forbear. If they could bear with each other's personality differences and forbear saying or doing things that would hurt or hinder the relationship, they would have a successful marriage. Every person is unique. Infinite variety seems to be the delight of God. He did not produce humanity with a cookie cutter. There's some men, some women, all shapes and sizes, a host of different personalities, but we all have been created for one purpose, and that purpose is to bring honor and glory to God, every one of us. Do you understand that God expects what he expects of you as a wife to the husband that he has allowed you to love and to cherish and enjoy? You know, a husband who walks with God has some special obligations. Just so the wife who walks with God has special obligations. In Genesis 2, chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." It is a high calling for a woman to be chosen from among other women to be the wife of a godly man. Sacred destinies are given into your keeping. Will you fulfill this worthy calling? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 says, "A virtuous, godly woman is a crown to her husband." Sisters, do you really know how much influence you have on your husbands or on your family? The scripture gives us many examples of women who had great influence on men. Some were wrong influences, such as Eve. She walked near the forbidden fruit. She was not content. She listened to the serpent, and she tempted her husband. Another was Rebecca. Rebecca and Isaac had a beautiful beginning, but then later on, Rebecca encouraged Jacob to be a sneak and a liar. She even taught Jacob to run away from his problem rather than confess it and make it right. Jezebel was one who encouraged her husband to sin by setting up false reports and had a man of God murdered. There's some good godly influences we can look at. One of them was Moses' mother. They had this precious child. She protected him, and she cared for him. I believe she taught him in those years that she took care of him very definitely in the ways of the Lord that had an influence on his life later on. There was Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice, who instilled faith into a young man, Timothy, a very godly influence. And you know, we think of Pallet, who had a yellow streak down his back. He couldn't stand up for what was right, but he had a wife that sent him a message about this godly man, Jesus. Many more could be given from the scriptures, and many more examples of good and bad influences today are wives on their husbands. We'll look at some qualities of a virtuous woman. She knows her sufficiency is in Christ, not in her husband. Even though we as men should be helping our companion to grow Christ-like, no man can fulfill all of your needs as a woman. And that's the reason why it's so important for you to have a daily communion with God, in His Word, in prayer, in fellowship. Be careful to practice Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's women today who feel that their husband should meet all their needs. But we cannot do that. Only Christ can do that. Secondly, the qualities of a virtuous woman: she will have a submissive spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Why? God is a person of perfectness in His creation, in His order, in our example. God's word gives an order of headship in 1 Corinthians 11. But I have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. God's orders and headship is very important. Another qualifications of a virtuous wife is seeking to be like Christ, Christ being her example. Not my will, but Christ be done. In John 5:30, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is judged, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father which has sent me. And that should be the desire of every sister. Also, the qualification of a virtuous wife, pictures of submission of the church of Christ. In Ephesians 5:22, where wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. When you feel like it, it says, in everything. This does not mean that you should not share your views in your home, and that you should not appeal to your husband. It's always a right to have an appeal to your husband. Another quality of the virtuous woman is a reverence for her husband. In Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. That's the type of love we should have as men. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence simply means a feeling or attitude of deep respect, love, and awe. Wives, do you have that for your husbands? Another quality of virtuous woman is a holy helpmeet. In Genesis 2:12, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. It means a helper suitable for him, not a wage earner away from the home, but one who makes wise use of possessions that are in the home. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, the scripture says that the older women should teach the young women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It's a lot in that verse. Discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The danger of a wife out in the workplace. In the United States, there are 42 million working mothers, 6 million with little children. The problems with women working outside of the home. First of all, the scripture tells us it's the husband's responsibility in 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide for not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Secondly, it weakens the family. Men and women working too close with each other. A fair start, and that's why, one reason why there's so many broken homes today. Thirdly, children are neglected. In America, there's over 3,000 cults to which 10,000 youth have gone. Why? Because there's no one at home. No one at home. Thirdly, it's a temptation to dress to please the peer pressure. We talk about our young people having peer pressure, but many adults have peer pressure. Fourthly, it robs a wife and mother of time with the Lord. And I would say, fifthly, it's almost impossible to be a full-time employee and a good wife and a godly mother. I heard one minister say that at his church, any couple who came to him to be married, if the bride is not planning to be a keeper at home, he would not marry them. Secondly, we want to look at the fact that every man has some basic needs that you, as a virtuous wife, only can fulfill. The role of mother is so important, but it should never take the place ahead of your role as a wife to your husband. Godly women are wives for 40 to 60 years, but mothers in the home are only for about 18 to 21 years. Many homes crumble after children are grown because true unity and love and friendship between couples was not developed. Let's look at some basic needs of husbands. A husband needs a wife who respects him as a man. Some wives destroy his manliness by trying to control the household by their own desires. Others do it by not sharing with him the personal protection that they need. We as men should know what our wives need in the place of in protection, but many of us are blinded to that. As a wife, do you talk with him or interrupt him when he's talking? Do you contradict him in front of others? Do you listen carefully to his opinions and trying to understand? You need to ask him to share with you areas where you can help him to be a man of steel and a man of velvet. We need help in those areas. Secondly, a husband needs a wife who accepts him as her leader and believes in his God-given responsibilities. Let him know that you believe the Lord will bless your family through his spiritual leadership. Thank him for his spiritual leadership. Ask your husband your spiritual questions. If you need to ask someone else, get his approval first. I have seen women, sisters, who have been drawn to godly men, maybe ministers or deacons, for their answers instead of their husbands. And to the husbands, that's a slap in the face. Encourage your husband to share with you his deepest thoughts, his concerns, and his convictions. Most men will not do it unless they're asked. Ask him to tell you kindly when you have a resistant spirit. And that might be a little dangerous, but I think it needs to be done. Thirdly, a husband needs a wife who will continue to develop inward and outward beauty. What did he like about you in your courtship days? Think, then do it. One of the things was your personal appearance. Men are attracted by sight, but sometimes some women feel after they're married, their husband doesn't really care, but he does care how you look. How the house is, if it's clean, if it's cozy, a place where he loves to come home and spend time with his companion. A good friend of mine down in Virginia tells me still that when he was younger, he stayed away from home pretty much. But he said, as time goes on, he loves his wife more and more. There's no place he'd sooner be than with his wife. And that's my testimony as well. Make the meals that he enjoys. Be a lady in your words and your actions and activities. Have a meek and quiet spirit that can come from the Lord. Be dedicated to God, to your husband, and to your children. Fourthly, a husband needs quality time alone with the Lord. The richer a man's fellowship is with God, the sweeter it will be with you. Encourage a Bethel. A Bethel is a time that your husband's alone with God. Every day. And when he's in that time in that Bethel, pray for him that God would give him the guidance and the direction that he needs. Oh, how we need your prayers as husbands from your wives. In counseling with couples who had marital problems, I heard sisters criticize their husbands and find fault with their husbands. And I asked them, how much time do you spend praying for your husband? And in most cases, it was very little. We need your prayers. Also, encourage him to share with you his spiritual burdens and concerns. A man needs a wife who will get him to open up, and he will share his heart with her. Fifthly, a husband needs a wife who is grateful for what he does for her. You know, it's so easy to take each other for granted. I do that many times with my wife. I try to do better. But we take each other many times for granted. I've heard so many couples say that after their companion left the scene of action, they just wish they'd have left their companion know how much they meant to them. Are you thankful for a husband who's patient with you when you have your low times in life, when you're discouraged and you're down, and he cares about you? He's one that sets a good example to be alone with God and pray for you. He prays with you every day together, especially for your special needs. God pity a father, a husband in a home who does not start out the day before he leaves home in prayer with his family. Are you thankful for a husband who doesn't make snap decisions? There's some men today who just right away to make a decision whether it's wrong or right. I know sometimes I think my wife gets a little maybe impatient with me. I'm not quick to make decisions, but she knows that when I make it, I stick by it. Are you thankful for that type of a husband? Are you thankful for a husband who helps you to say no in areas where there's physical and the emotional pressures are hard on you? Do you protect her? Are you thankful that he does that? One who's not easily swayed, but is firm in God's word. One who you don't need to pick up after him, clothing hanging here and laying there. And are you thankful? Are you thankful for a husband who remembers those special times, maybe a card or a note, maybe taking you out for a meal, and maybe shopping, which most men don't appreciate doing, but they do it because they love you. A husband needs a wife who shares physical love with him. You know, most women do not understand their husband's deep need for physical intimacy any more than most husbands do not understand their wives' deep need for affection. A wife needs a lot of affection, a lot of showing and sharing. Fulfillment in this area takes time, especially for women, with tenderness and words and touch. Sisters, you have a high calling as a wife to your husband. Your value is much above many of us as husbands. Use your position to honor and to glorify God. I'd like to leave a challenge here this evening. I would suggest that as a wife, you would make a list of the qualities that you appreciate in your husband. Maybe you can't think of a lot. Maybe you can get 5 or 10, whatever it may be. And also list the bad qualities in your husband that you would like to have changed. And don't harp on them, but commit them to the Lord in prayer. And seek to encourage him and his good qualities. And God will do a mighty work in your relationships. Third area is romance. You know, before marriage, will your romance and your love continue a few years, or will it be for a lifetime? I'd suggest that first of all, you rehearse your first experience with romance. We live in a time of distorted concepts of romantic love. Paperback romance novels, soap opera programs, and the result is emotional involvement, sex desire above love, and commitment to the will. What really is true romance? The definition of that is a special time or event for a married husband and wife. What is romantically special to one couple may not be to another. I read of an old man who said, "Feeling of romance usually comes in small drops rather than downpours, and once in a while there's a dry spell. It may come in a quiet lunch on the patio. You may talk, and she reaches across the table to squeeze my hand. Or it may be an evening spent reading before the fireplace, just us together." Romance is a sense of excitement that one person experiences at the thought or in the presence of their mate. It's a powerful desire to be with her partner in an intimate way. Physical affection and sex may be included in a romantic relationship, or it may not be present at all because they just the two factors of romance. What are some hindrances to romance? I mentioned before about taking each other for granted. If we take each other for granted, we're not going to have those romantic times. Maybe as we get older, we need some time to rest. We're too exhausted to appreciate each other. Or another thing would be that things have become more important than relationships. And that's something we have to watch in this country of ours. That things have become more important than relationships. How is your relationship with your companion? Is it precious? Is it of high value? For the wife, children may become number one instead of number two. What termites are hindering your romance? We have a neighbor in a little development where we live who have marital problems. It's easy for me to see what the problem is. That wife and that mother, they have 2 children, puts everything into them children, and her husband is feeling neglected. And this happens many times. And sisters, we need to be aware of that. As I mentioned, you live with your husband maybe 40 or 60 years, but your children only in your home maybe for 18 or 21. What termites are hindering your romance? What are some ways to enhance romance? What makes a great lover? Someone who can satisfy one woman all her life and who herself can be satisfied by one man all his life long. That's emotionally and heart bonding. We need to bond to each other's hearts. Hearts that like to be loved and appreciated and shared. Maybe you can do that by surprises. Women like surprises. Maybe a note left in the kitchen sink or maybe in the bathroom. Maybe a phone call when you're busy and she needs some comfort. Maybe a simple gift. I think another area would help to enhance romance is some dating time. As we get older and get more responsibilities, we forget to take those special little moments. Maybe after prayer meeting, you go to McDonald's and get a hamburger. Simple thing. But it's a time together, a date that we need. Well, maybe we're busy with church work. We need a night a week to be just alone with our wife. Maybe it's a walk together in the woods, whatever it may be. Maybe it's a getaway for a day or two. Most of all, we need to pray together. We need to spend time with each other in joy. Be creative. Each make a list of things that you really enjoyed in your courtship days, and then continue to talk about them and practice them. Look in each other's eyes and ask, what can I do today to make you happy? What can I do today to make you happy? We need to learn his or her love language. Are you a feeling person? You need to be touched in closeness. Maybe you're a seeing person. You like scenery or reading or taking pictures. Maybe you're a hearing person. You love music or love conversation with a person. And we need to learn, study each other, what our companion really enjoys in life, and do those things that unite us together. For some, it would rather stay home and eat at home. Others would like to watch a sunset. But take time to know each other. Every one of us finds time for what is valuable, what we value highly. Isn't that true? So many times we make excuses. We don't have time to do this. We don't have time to do that. But what we really value in life, we take time for. And in our families, in our homes, husbands and wives, we need to take time for each other. Time. Romance in marriage is taking time. It is God's will for you to have a romantic marriage. Take time to keep it happening. I trust that some of maybe it's a few things here, may challenge our marriages and help us to be more fully in the will of the Lord. God has ordained marriage, and he wants our marriage to be happy. He wants it to be fruitful. And unless we're submitted, first of all, completely to God, unless we're bound together with a deep love for our companion and a commitment to be faithful in all areas, we will not have that bonding as we should. May God bless you.